Part 7, Further Declaration of Standing in Your Power. I stand boldly by the blood of the Lamb and in the power of the resurrection of the ascended and seated Christ against the forces of evil. I know that the devil and his minions have power, but I also know that light is greater than darkness, so that the darkness cannot put it out. I know that those who are with me are more than those who are with them, and I know that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. I stand boldly by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and virtue and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. And they have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. There will be times of peace and calm in the battle. But even in the midst of the struggle, our spirits can be at rest because all our righteousness is accomplished by Jesus Christ, and there are no hoops for us to jump through in order to be pleasing to God. But until the last day, described here in Revelation, the battle is still raging. The enemy still seeks souls to destroy, and we must still be on watch. He will destroy any way he can, and relentless accusation is often one of his most effective means. And how is it that we can stand firm? It is only through faith in the power of Jesus Christ. In this case, it's by faith in his sacrificial death for us as the ultimate Lamb of God. One of the earliest missionaries to the Muslims of Iran, in those days called Persia, was an Assyrian Christian, Pastor Yohanan. He arrived among the wild Kurds in 1879, hiring a young man to teach him the Kurdish language. This young man, Saeed, watched the pastor for weeks and months. He had known others who called themselves Christians and didn't at all practice what they preached. But this pastor was different. He demonstrated the love of God again and again. When he prayed, thanking God for the blood of Jesus and his salvation, he even prayed for his enemies, the Muslims. Saeed knew no Muslim would pray for his enemies. He had never known of a Christian to do that. What Christian would do that? Because of Yohanan's powerful testimony of love, Saeed eventually became the first Christian from the wild Kurdish tribe. Yohanan was one of many who came into enemy territory, loving not his life to the death, confident in God's power to overcome the lies of the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And in the power of the resurrection of the ascended and seated Christ against the forces of evil. In Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, Paul prayed that the Ephesian Christians would know the exceeding greatness of his power in us who believe, by the operation of the power of his strength, which operated in the Christ raising him from the dead and setting him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:13 says, Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day and stand fast, all the work having been finished. When we stand and withstand in the evil day, which in case you haven't noticed is today, even as we pray a defensive prayer for ourselves, we are ultimately praying not only for ourselves, but for all who are and will be in the kingdom of God. Then we'll find it will graduate, maybe without even noticing, to offensive prayers, prayers that claim ground for Jesus and his kingdom that the enemy has taken away. The nation of Colombia was for decades known as a land of terrible violence, where the police and the military ruled like mobsters. But quietly, behind the scenes, the Spirit of God had also been working in that land for decades. In 1996, a few Colombian Christians gathered and drove around the perimeter of the large, violently wicked, dangerous city of Kali, praying and praying for God to take that city for himself. They prayed not defensive prayers, please protect and help me, but offensive prayers, please deliver, rescue, and heal these lost souls. 3 years later, 400 Colombian Christian pastors met to pray over a week of offensive prayer. They were about to launch over Colombia, the largest prayer meeting the country had ever known. The pastors prepared with prayers of repentance and protection for themselves and each other. That prayer meeting in a stadium began the next week with 3,000 Christians praying over their nation. Two nights later, more than 35,000 Christians streamed into that stadium, filling it, even more people standing outside waiting to come in and pray. People in that stadium fell on their faces and wept. They wept over their own sins, the sins of their families, the sins of their city, and the sins of their nation. They prayed for God to bring them a new day in Colombia, for the Spirit of God to sweep over their nation with his great salvation through Jesus Christ. And over the course of the coming years, some of the worst of the killers came to Jesus for salvation, and the Holy Spirit swept through the city. From only 30 evangelical churches in the large city of Cali in 1980, the number of evangelical Christian congregations had burgeoned in 1990 to 250. By 2000, there were 700, and the number has been continuing to swell. When we stand in the evil day, when we stand in the day of small things, so much more is really going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. We will trust that as we pray, God will work in the hearts of those he has called to himself. I know that the devil and his minions have power. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the congregation the manifold wisdom of God. 1 Peter 3:22. He is at the right hand of God, having ascended into heaven, unto whom the angels and the authorities and powers are subject. They wouldn't be called powers if they didn't have power. In his seminal work, The Handbook for Spiritual Warfare, Thomas Nelson, 2003, Ed Murphy tells of his introduction to the work of evil spiritual powers in the life of Christians. Like many Christians, he had firmly believed that Christians could not have a demon. Everything changed for him when he found that his very own daughter, a girl who loved Jesus, was undeniably affected by demons. That experience caused him to re-examine his theology about the power and sphere of demons in the Word of God and to come to a new understanding of the Greek word that basically means demonization. It is true that the Word of God teaches that Satan's kingdom has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. It teaches that Satan and all his minions are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. But still, the Bible also teaches that these principalities and powers are active in the world and have been even since the resurrection. Though their powers are limited in the life of a believer, they can still exert influence, and if allowed in and left unnoticed, they can cause havoc. But I also know that light is greater than darkness, so that the darkness cannot put it out. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. Perhaps few examples of light overcoming darkness are more stunning than the stories of the work of the mighty Spirit of God in the Muslim world, as he has been bringing people to a knowledge of their sin and need for a Savior through many means, but most strikingly through dreams and visions. that have consistently led them to seek out the first Christian they can find who can show them the way to Jesus. No other country has been experiencing these phenomena more powerfully than Iran. Taher was an exemplary Muslim in Iran. He took his faith so seriously that when first his daughter, then his wife, and then his son all converted to Christianity, he beat them severely and often and threatened to kill them if they didn't renounce the Christian faith. God has different plans for different people, and his ways are higher than our ways. Some Christians in Muslim countries most certainly have given their lives for their faith. But Taher's family were all able to escape into the night with help from the Christians of their church. In his grief, Taher looked to Allah, but he found Jesus Christ. The light of Christ shone on him through a vision he had three times, the same each time. A man in radiant white came to him on a donkey. "I will cleanse you from your sins. I will give you rest. Believe on me." Then another man asking him, "Do you know who that man was?" That was Jesus Christ. In spite of his strong belief in a way that led to darkness, Taher saw the light. He found the Christian church and believed on Jesus and became a changed man. There are so many stories like this one throughout the world. We need to hear these stories. We need to be reminded that our God is one who loves to redeem those who are lost in darkness. He loves to rescue his own children from darkness when they cry out to him, look to him for deliverance, and listen to what he wants them to do. "I know that those who are with me are more than those who are with them." 2 Kings 6, 15-16. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early to go forth, behold, a host compassed the city with both horsemen and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' And Elisha answered, 'Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" For those of us dealing with demonized friends and loved ones, those of us who understand the extreme destruction that evil has worked in many organizations, including governments, churches, universities, military groups, the medical field, and law enforcement, the spiritual battle can seem so fierce and the power of evil so strong. We can feel like crying out, "Alas, what shall we do?" Surely it has felt that same way to many people groups whose nations have been overpowered by evil government or church officials, overrun by the servants of those evil leaders. Consider the Christians of Ethiopia, whose land had been overtaken by communists, whose faithful members had been killed by the servants of that evil way. But they knew, even still, that those who were with them were more than those who were with their oppressors. In the late 1980s, Akaso, an Ethiopian man who loved God, began walking to the top of his hill where he could see one of those communist prison camps. He knew the camp was evil and needed to go, but he also knew that there was absolutely nothing he could do in and of himself to destroy that camp. But he knew God could. So he prayed and prayed, day after day. He prayed with anyone who would join him, "God, destroy that camp." One day, Akaso prayed there with two other Christian men. Together, they prayed all day. The gigantic communist army camp had stood there for years. Years. But together, the men who had been praying for years believed they should pray that God would destroy it that very day. "Mighty God, show your power," they prayed. "Bring glory to your name by removing this evil thing." They lifted their arms and turned the palms of their hands upward, pushing. "Push it out, O God," they prayed. Remember, these men had already been praying for years. Akaso had been praying for years about this very communist camp that he still saw sitting there below him unchanged. They prayed all day, crying out to God to destroy the evil they saw before them. Late at night, past midnight, all three of them felt a whisper from the Holy Spirit of God that their prayer would indeed be answered that very day. They went home, praised the Lord, and slept soundly. The next morning, when they went to the top of the hill again, they saw that the army camp was empty. Little had they known, but according to the prayers of God's people, the communist government had been toppling, and the soldiers in that camp had been called away so quickly that they had left everything behind. As soon as they were sure those ravaging soldiers were gone, the villagers began plundering the camp, taking whatever they needed to help them recover from all the devastation. In just a few hours, nothing was left of the huge army camp that had hung like a dark shadow of death over that valley for so long. The power of God had overcome the powers of darkness. It had looked like only three old men with no weapons against a giant, well-equipped army. But the army of God was on the side of his people. He still is. Let us pray. And I know that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There are books and speakers that will tell you that the Christian life is accomplished by imitation, by striving, by developing habits. Note, see, for example, Godliness Through Discipline by J. Adams, Father of Nouthetic Counseling, P&R Publishing, 1983. But that is not the Christian life described in the Bible. Jesus tells us that he is in us and he is our life, Colossians 3:4. This is how Paul could say in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ." Sometimes young preachers will choose a famous preacher they want to imitate and proceed to study and copy his mannerisms, his turn of a phrase, even his facial hair, because they want to have the success he has. Let's say that the preacher they want to copy is not a secretly wicked hypocritical Pharisee, as some well-known ones are. Let's say he truly loves both God and others. Copying the preacher will never give them the heartbeat of his life or his spiritual power. If all they want is to attract crowds and become famous, then they may well be able to do it by copying. But if they want to have the power of the Spirit of God, copying is not the answer. If they seek to understand the heartbeat of a truly God-focused man's life, this will still only point them to Jesus, who does not expect us to imitate him in the sense we think of the word, but to be indwelt by him. He wants us to know him experientially in his power, in the power of his Holy Spirit. When we focus our hopes and desires on him, he will show us what he can work within us. He can bring deliverance from the evil, bring healing into our lives, and give us the power to then go out and do battle for others against the forces of the enemy, who hates the God of heaven and counts eternal souls as objects to destroy. Romans 8:37-39 says, "Nevertheless, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Therefore, I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." This is because we put all our faith in him for our full deliverance. I close with some words from George Mueller, a man who trusted God alone for the care of thousands of orphans, never asking anyone for money except the Lord himself. These words are not specifically about spiritual warfare, but are about faith, one of our primary weapons in the battle. Quote, "Some say, 'Oh, I shall never have the gift of faith Mr. Mueller's got.' This is a mistake. It is the greatest error. There is not a particle of truth in it. My faith is the same kind of faith all of God's children have had. It is the same kind that Simon Peter had, and all Christians may obtain the like faith. Their faith is precisely the faith I exercise only with regard to degree. Mine may be more strongly exercised. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, begin in a little way. That's George Mueller from the sermon Real Faith, accessed at hopefaithprayer.com. One does not need to begin, nay, cannot begin, exercising faith by exercising great faith. But we can all start somewhere. We can all begin in a little way. Perhaps we can start with faith that's willing to utter a short prayer that acknowledges the goodness and greatness of God, the attack we're experiencing, our desire for repentance and change, our confidence in His deliverance from the evil one, and our joy in His ultimate victory. Let's begin.